And now would you, while you remain standing, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to be focusing on verses 17 through 19. But I want to begin reading at verse 7. So Hebrews 13, beginning reading at verse 7. This is the word of God. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And now our text. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. So far, our reading in God's Word. Let's ask God's blessing on it. Father, we thank you for the book of Hebrews. We thank you, Lord, for this particular passage that we are looking at and considering this morning. And Lord, we thank you that you bless your church with leadership and that you have blessed Coram Deo with leadership. We pray, O Lord, your blessing on us now as we open this scripture passage as we unpack it, and Lord, we pray that it would penetrate our hearts and souls and bear fruit to your glory, and that Christ and Christ alone would be exalted. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as you see in your Bibles, if you were following along, and I don't know if your iPhones or pads show this, but we are very close to the end of Hebrews, of the book of Hebrews. In fact, I plan to preach one more message, finishing up Hebrews 13 after today. So we're almost to the end of Hebrews. And chapter 13, and parts of chapter 12, but chapter 13 describes the life of faith. Hebrews, the whole purpose of Hebrews is to encourage the debilitated Christians to keep the faith, to persevere. And we, as the writer comes to the end, he's kind of laying out, this is what that looks like in real life. And so we are to show brotherly love to one another, the first part of chapter 13, and show hospitality. We're to care for the down and outers, those who are in prison and those who are hurting in any way. We're to have a sympathy and a care for them. We're to honor marriage. We are to be content with what the Lord has given us and not have a love for money. Our life's focus should be Christ. All of this, the writer is pointing out. And here he comes back to a point, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them. And he's specifically speaking about leaders in the church. The reason we know that is because they keep watch over your souls. So we're not talking about, in this particular passage, he's not talking about the president or kings and that so much. He's talking about those leaders that are in your church. And he's brought that up already in verse 7. In fact, it's mentioned three times in this chapter. Verse 7. Verse 17 that we're looking at today. And then again in verse 24. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. So this is clearly on the mind of the writer or author of Hebrews. This person might not see these Hebrew Christians again. But the church leaders are still going to be there. And so in his final instructions, he's telling the church, he's teaching the church how to deal with that. There's still going to be those teachers among them. There's still going to be the leadership who will serve as examples to the flock. And this passage makes very clear to us that it is altogether right and appropriate that there are church leaders. It's right and biblical to have church leaders. Now, I'm not sure that that's been an issue of question or concern among us. I think we, in our form of church government and our understanding of God's word, recognize clearly that that is the case. And when I'm talking about church leaders, and particularly I'm talking about elders and pastors in the church. But there have been some bodies who have foregone having specific church leaders and office bearers and such. But the God's word, I think, makes very clear that such is necessary. But there is nonetheless that American mindset that is present, an individualism, in which we really don't like these words. Obey. Submit. That goes against our kind of American individualism. But the New Testament is quite clear in its teaching that the local church should have leaders. But God's word in the New Testament is not only clear, I think, on that matter, speaking about church leadership, but in a number of cases, it speaks to church leaders and warns the church leaders, because there's always the danger with leadership, isn't there? There's a danger of corrupting, power grabbing, pushing to get my way, abusing the responsibilities that are given to us. God's word speaks of it, lording it over. You know, lording it over, having and taking authority and overusing it and abusing it. And there is that danger. But our passage here, I believe, and the other passages that speak to these kind of things, views such so-called leadership as an aberration. And that is not the leadership that should in any way be the norm. And my prayer is that you, as members of Coram Deo, recognize your leadership and see that they are not lording it over us. That's not what we want to do. We don't want to abuse any power, any authority that we might have as church leaders in any way. I always want to make the point to my fellow elders and office bearers that we are servant leaders. We're servant leaders. That's who we are. And last time when we were looking at this, and particularly verse 7 and this further passage, we're told here to imitate the faith of those leaders who had taught you the word of God. Imitate their faith. Remember, it doesn't say, it says note their way of life and imitate their faith. It doesn't say imitate their way of life. We can't always do that, of course, but we can imitate their faith. And the idea is that these were those who, like in Hebrews chapter 11, they fought the good fight and they kept the faith. They didn't drop out. They didn't bail from the race, but they kept the faith. And the writer is saying, so not only are we talking about Enoch and Noah and Moses and Abraham and Sarah and all of these Old Testament saints, but he's saying, remember those who were in your own church and who were teaching you and who were leading you, and imitate their faith because they kept the faith. Those who taught the word of God to you. These were men who knew God's word, who lived it out, who trusted in its promises, thus having a profound effect on how they lived and also on the congregation. As we look at this passage in Hebrews 13, I just want to bring out these three things. What is the goal of biblical church leaders? And bring out what does it mean to watch, as we have in this passage, verse 17. They are keeping watch. What does that mean? What does that look like? And then finally, what is the honor that is due to biblical church leaders? So what is the goal of biblical church leadership? We have here, obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Notice two phrases in this verse. That would be of no advantage to you. That's one phrase. And two, they are keeping watch over your souls. Now, literally, what that means is they are keeping watch on behalf of your souls. They are keeping watch on behalf of your souls. But I think the point is the same. The goal of biblical church leadership is the advantage, the profit, or the good of the people, and especially the good of the congregation's souls. That's the goal. That would be of no advantage to you. They are keeping watch over your souls. When you see these together, it gives us that understanding. And in light of the whole point of the book of Hebrews, the good here, the advantage here, the profit here that is, being mentioned, and is the encouragement and the persevering in our faith to the end. In Hebrews 10, verse 39, we read, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the souls. It's a great sort of central verse of Hebrews. Say, this is who we are. This is what this is about. Not shrinking back. Not turning back to Judaism. Not leaving the faith. But who persevere in the faith. The whole book of Hebrews is about perseverance or preservation. Not to shrink back, but to persevere in faith. And the job of elders, the job of pastors, these biblical church leaders, is to help you persevere in the faith and be saved. Our final salvation ultimately comes to us through persevering faith. It's not just a one-time decision, although it is true that when we are saved, we are saved. And thus, but we know that we yet live lots of life on this earth, and God calls us to persevere. And all of that is part and parcel of the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. We're called upon to persevere. It's an ongoing work of God day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, to preserve us safe in Jesus. That is the Christian life. And God uses means to preserve and to help us. And it happens through the teaching and admonishing. Yes, admonishing sometimes, and correcting and rebuking sometimes, and by the modeling of faithful leaders in the church. So that the ultimate goal of biblical church leaders is to bring us all, little infant girls and little infant boys, and to raise them up and to help young boys and young girls and older boys and older girls and men and women and the elderly, all of them to keep the faith and to be growing and to be nurturing in the faith and to be preserving in the faith. That's ultimately the goal of what we're doing. And then the writer says, they are keeping watch over or on behalf of your souls. They watch on behalf of your souls. What is this watchfulness of the church leaders? Well, one of the things that the church leaders are to watch over for the sake of your souls is the Word of God. And there, I, but also the elders, have a very important responsibility that whatever messages we're giving, whether it's in the preaching of God's Word or in our Sunday school classes or in our Wednesday night Bible studies, whatever teaching aspect of ministry is happening in Coram Deo, our responsibility is to ensure that the Word of God is going out. Not just some good ideas that Derek has, but that the Word is being preached, the Word is being taught. In verse 7, they were those who spoke the Word of God to you. And so we, in our leadership as church leaders, we lead by God's Word, not by our own words. Church leaders are not authority in and of themselves. They are men under authority. The Word of God is the authority. Christ is our authority. But it is precisely because we are men under that authority that you then are called upon to obey and to submit. We are to ensure that the truth of God's Word is preached, that the truth of God's Word is being taught, and that the congregation is hearing it, hearing the Word of God, and does not drift away from it. That's what we are to ensure. We are to ensure that the Word of God is proclaimed so that you keep the faith. So that you keep the faith. So the leaders of the church are responsible to watch over the word. But if I may say that, bring it even a little bit more crystallized, they are to watch Christ. Or their watchfulness means they are to keep an eye out. Is Christ proclaimed in this place? Is Christ being taught in this place? I think I've brought up a number of times, I've appreciated very much the White Horse Inn and, Michael Horton. He and I went to seminary together. I know him personally as a friend. But one of, I think, his most profound books is called Christless Christianity, where Mike has a gift, Mike Horton has a gift of, I think, seeing what's happening in the culture and in the church and being able to evaluate, and to be able to pick out, okay, this is what's going on. And this is one of the things he pointed out is that there is in so many churches a Christless Christianity. There's a going through the motions and they're singing and whatever else, but there's no Christ in it. There's no proclamation of the gospel and of what Christ has accomplished. And there's no cross being proclaimed. And the elders of the church and myself as a pastor, part of our watchfulness is to make sure that Christ is being placarded, that Christ is being trumpeted from whatever ministry we're engaged in. This is about Christ. If we're going to be a true church of Jesus Christ, then we're going to follow in Paul's footsteps and say that we glory in nothing save the cross of Christ, and that we come to you knowing nothing but Christ and Him crucified. That's the heart of it. And as those who watch on behalf of your souls, that's our responsibility, to ensure that Christ is being preached to you, that Christ is being taught in this place. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If that isn't our central message, if that isn't the focus of Coramdale Reformation Church, let's close the doors. Let's stop. Because we have no reason to be here. And the responsibility of church leaders is to see to it that Christ is proclaimed. If we're going to be watching the Word of God, the central reason for that Word is Jesus Christ. So we better make sure Christ is preached. Christ is proclaimed. And so we, church leaders, we watch the Word. We watch Christ. But church leaders also watch themselves. Or we watch ourselves. Verse 7 did say, consider the outcome of their way of life. In other words, congregation, you are to look at us. How do they live? What's their conduct? And to imitate their faith. This means leaders have a greater accountability to God for our behavior. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul is meeting with the Ephesian elders, it's probably the last time he's going to be seeing them. And so he draws them together. He had spent years in Ephesus, and he knew these men. He knew their leadership. Now he's on his way to Rome. He gathers them around him, and he says to them in Acts 20:28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. Watch over yourselves and the flock. So part of that watching, that's the responsibility of church leaders, is watching ourselves. How are we living? Are we being consistent in our profession and in our faith? And are we humble enough to say, Lord, forgive me. I've messed up again. I failed again. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, Paul says to Timothy, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Pay close attention. And so we watch the Word. We watch Christ. On behalf of the congregation, on behalf of the flock, we watch ourselves. And we watch the flock. We watch the congregation. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, let us consider one another for stirring up to love and good deeds. We're to watch out for one another. Now, that's true of all of us. That's true of just being brothers and sisters in Christ, isn't it? We all have that responsibility. And if we see a brother or sister stumbling, we, as those who love him or her, should come up and come alongside them and help them. And that's the responsibility of all of us, certainly. But this is expressly the leader's role, to watch on behalf of your souls. Particularly your life and your doctrine. Particularly your life, that is what how you're living, but also what it is that you're professing. That you are professing the true faith. And that we are aiding and helping you in growing in that true faith. Well, when that is happening, when that is, when the church leaders are doing their work or fulfilling their responsibilities, we have here, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over on behalf of your souls as those who will give an account. Obedience and submission. I said at the beginning, these are unpopular words. They are unpopular words today because of our American evangelicalism, or individualism. Well, probably both. Because of our American individualism, it's very unpopular, these words of obedience and submission. But also because many, I think, of us have been under abusive leaders. And that's a reality. Some of us have had abusive fathers, you know, who've taken advantage of their position of authority in the home and in the family and abused that. And there's a bit of an antipathy toward any kind of direction for us to obey and submit. But, you know, biblical submission, and we're called upon in many places to submit, aren't we? Not just here, but biblical submission is also and always as unto the Lord. In Ephesians, wives submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. I think that's important. That's an important qualification. It doesn't say submit to your husband in everything. Whatever they say, whatever they require that you submit to. That's not what it says. It says as unto the Lord. That there's a certain way in which our submission is to show itself as unto the Lord. It's not a blind submission. But it is submission nonetheless. And if that's unpopular in the church, when that is not the case, and there is a rebelliousness and a lack of obedience, well, that causes groaning among the leadership. There's no joy. And that would not be advantageous to you. Obedience and submission is as unto the Lord, but it is your calling and my calling as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. We give honor in our obedience and submission. We also give honor to our leadership by our prayers. Paul says in verse 18, pray for us. Or the writer says this, pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience, but pray for us. Pray for your leaders. You know, we're weak. We're not omniscient. We don't know everything. You know, we're not omnipotent. We can't solve every problem. We're not all powerful or anything like that. We're weak, and we seek wisdom and try to make decisions based on the wisdom that we have and the knowledge that we have. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, Paul says. That's what we are. We have this great, glorious gospel message that we present to you and that we seek to build you up, but it's in earthen vessels. Weak clay pots. I always or often wonder, you know, why did God not send his angels to be his preachers and church leaders? You know, it seems like that would be far more effective than people like me. But God in his wisdom chose weak men. Maybe so that he would get the glory. I'm sure that is the case. Why should we give honor? Well, it's because of their work. They're watching over you. For any of you who've served as office bearers in the church, it's not fun. It's not like this is a great time we're having, serving as office bearers in the church. It's very difficult. And it's often hard work. And often results in sleepless nights. The reason is because we love the church. And we feel that our master has given us this calling to serve. And that's why you're called to honor your leaders in the church. And because they must give an account. I mean, it's a weighty thing. It's a weighty thing for them. Christ gave office bearers to the church. We are under shepherds of the great shepherd. We are under shepherds. But we're accountable to the shepherd. That's weighty. It's weighty. But this is God's will. And let me conclude this way. This is God's will. Elders and pastors were fallible. And we certainly should not be lording it over the flock. That is not what we're called to do. We're not called to be abusive in our leadership in any way. But we are called to watch over and to give leadership. And the congregation should follow and honor that good leadership. So congregation, pray for us. And pray for this. And pray for yourselves too. Pray for us who are leaders. Pray for yourselves. For the good of our congregation. For the strength and the health of our congregation. For the glory of Christ's name, whose we are, and for why we exist. And also for our witness in Denver and Colorado. Pray for this. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for giving passages such as this that give us instruction on church life and how we are to live out the faith that we cherish and to which we hold. Lord, may the leaders of Coram Deo Reformation Church, be faithful to our calling. And be humble servants as we watch on behalf of the flock. And we pray, O Lord, that the congregation would have due regard for their leaders to obey and submit, and that in all this Christ may be glorified and have the preeminence. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.